It's time to put on your thinking cap, so to see if you can remember things. Click that. There's your thinking cap.
Some of y'all haven't wore that for a long time.
No, I didn't.
Here's your thinking cap. What place did we talk about a couple weeks ago? This beautiful place called what?
Heaven.
Yeah, so that's heaven. I'll see if you got the first one right. Heaven. We've all got to think about heaven, and most of the time, Marjorie's right that when someone dies, you think, well, I wonder where they're going. So we can have that all settled before we ever die. So heaven is the place that we're talking about. And there seems to be no shortage as compared to, you know, some things. There's no shortage. There's books written, movies made, songs sung. But consider the following about heaven, even if you don't think of all those things, whether it's 90 Minutes in Heaven, written by Don Piper, Todd Murpo telling about his little son, Colton, who went to heaven, or whether it's movies that Hollywood just made this one up. Heaven is for real. Copy it after the book. And even the songs, Right There You Go by John Denver, Eric Clapton. But if you forget all of that, how about just this? Consider that the Bible almost talks about heaven 600 times. The whole book of Revelation, once John gets in there, he says, I saw a vision. And then the next thing you know, he says, God just sort of lifts him up and lets him see things that are in heaven. So John gives you an account of about heaven. So I would think that in the Old Testament, there it is. In the New Testament, you've got a couple stories in the book of Revelation, and in I've got another one for you in Corinthians. So considering all that, do you think people are interested in heaven? Yes. But as the old country song says, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Can I just go up there without dying? Well, that's probably not going to happen. So then it all comes down to this right here. If you consider these two books, some people don't believe in heaven. And even if they get an account by these two guys, they say, nah, I'm sort of skeptical. Well, let me give you one other account of heaven right here. This man wrote about heaven, and he gave you this account. He said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Now, the third heaven, they sometimes call that paradise. Whether it was in the body or not, rephrase that for me. Whether it's in the body, if we're in the body, we're what?
Alive.
We're alive. Out of the body, we're dead. I don't know if a man was dead or alive. I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, again, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. God knows. He was caught up to paradise. Anybody ever heard of paradise before? Jesus hanging on the cross. The thief says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What's paradise? And paradise is that third level. I won't get into all the different. We're going to be in a new heaven when we're raptured away. God will make us into a new place. But right now, paradise and heaven, basically the same thing. Yeah, so this man went to heaven. He calls it paradise. He heard inexpressible things that no one's permitted to tell. Well, this wasn't Todd Murpo writing about Colton, his little four-year-old. This wasn't Don Piper, although he died in a car crash for 90 minutes. This was this man called this. I wouldn't say this is a pretty reliable author. This is the Apostle Paul out of the Bible. See, Paul went into a city. He went into three, four towns back to back. Derby, like the Derby, the hat. Derby, Lystra, and Iconium. I remember those. What, Derby, I'd always do this. Lystra, like Listerine. And Iconium, you look at an ice cream cone. That's just my mind right there. So Derby, Lystra, and Iconium. And he was going into, some people didn't like what he had to say, so they killed him. Even if you don't like somebody, Brian, just kill him, you know. Don't apply that today, just in case you don't have my message, okay? They killed Apostle Paul. Where'd they put him? Drug him out on the edge of town, threw him in a rubbish pile. Now, I don't think they would have threw him there unless he was what? Dead. Now, some people say that, well, I don't know, maybe they just tossed him in there. No, I think they beat him up and killed him. Paul, being the brave man but not so smart man, look as he got up from the rubbish pile, after having this experience, dusted himself off, and guess where he goes? Right back into the same town. Walks in, hey guys, I thought we killed you a few minutes ago. You did. If you kill me again, I'll just keep getting up and coming right back at you. Apostle Paul had that undying tenacity. Even though you killed him, he would come back at you. Apostle Paul talks about heaven. It's an important place. Well, the whole idea, though, is that I just don't know when I'm going, and you don't know when you're going, so we got to be ready when we go. So that brings up this next thing. We got to consider, you mean by remember what we considered? God's what?
Appointment book.
God's appointment book. Last week we considered that. I don't know when God's going to call me home, so I'm just going to be ready to go. the soldiers call that lockdown. They get on a bus or they get on their transport, whatever it is, and they sit in there, they've got weapon, helmet, pack, they've got everything ready, and they're just waiting on, this is it. So God's appointment book tells us that it's, we're all going to be born, just like Jesus was, born when the set time, God's appointment book had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. What do you mean the law? Well, they were still under Mosaic law, still under the Jewish law. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but the law through me might be fulfilled. And then it is appointed a man wants to die, and sure enough, that even applied to Jesus. And then finally, you got to remember this, that no one should ever worry about, well, what if I die before I'm ready? No one's ever arrived on earth or in heaven without God fully knowing about it. You may feel like, did you have anything to do with coming into this earth? No. And I don't really have anything. What about the people that commit suicide? Well, I don't know. We could always try to find exceptions, but if they die, God won't be surprised by it. Because I know some people, I've read in accounts and testimonies, they said, I tried to kill myself and couldn't do it, or something happened, or I was about to, and I heard some message on it. I think God intercedes. So I don't know about all life and death. It's, all I know is I'm ready right now. Do I know when I'll go? Absolutely not. I've just got to trust Christ. That's a... Because, see, we get sort of aggravated. We go to the doctor's office, and some of you make an appointment. So I'll remind you of this. It is appointed a man wants to die. Check out this appointment. If you have an appointment made and you roll into a doctor's office and they don't have you on there. I happened to be at the doctor's office about a week or so ago. They were checking spots on my head. And this woman showed up and she said, y'all made me an appointment, but you didn't write it down. And she says, right here's the card you gave me. She said, you're right. Would you mind waiting around a little bit? We'll try to work you in. So once you make this thing, you would hope that they would honor that. So here's your appointment. And then God's going to call you one day after the appointment's made. I don't know. Picture waiting in God's waiting room right there. And God says, okay, I'll take you up now. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to do that for me tomorrow or 6 months. Or I thought the other day, if you added... I'm 60 years old. If I live to be 90, well, that's a good age. And it's sort of, it's a little scary to know that I have now lived two-thirds of my life. Wow. I've only got 30 years left. Well, I hope God lets me have another four. But just think, where are you going to be in 30 years? And suddenly you go, wow. You know, just think if you thought you were going to pass away, Andy's 31. So by the time, if I live as old 31 more years, God's going to take me home? I don't know. She said, boy, it seems like such a short time. You tell a teenager that in high school, what's 30 years seem like to them? Yeah. Man, it's funny. How old are you? I'm not old. Man, you taught my mother. I taught two driver's ed students. Somebody called me one time and said, would you teach this person? I said, sure. And his name was Andrew Mullen. Andrew Mullen is Robert Mullen's son. Robert Mullen is Bob Allman's son-in-law down there. So actually, this is Bob Allman, who I worked down at Grand Valley Christian Schools for 10 years. This is Pastor Allman's grandson. Tell me if that doesn't make me feel young, okay? Mm-hmm. So would you teach my grandson? Sure. They're just surprised I've been around that time. And surprised that a lot of those years is teaching driver's ed, because it's a wonder, you know, that that's where all my hair went. I started teaching driver's ed when he left. Either that or I got married. But anyway, some people say, well, do you have an appointment with death? No, I teach drivers. Some people say, oh, how do you do that? I've been around a while, but just think, what if you only have 20 or 30? What are you going to do with that? You tell a teenager you got 30 years to live, they're like, God, that's eternity. You tell someone who's 60 or 70, wow, only 30 more years? Well, but you know what? God's going to call me. I'm in his waiting room called Earth, and I'm still preaching the gospel. I still hope I can hang on to that. And I don't know that I'm ever going to do this. Although some people might. Why is this taking so long? If someone's older and they're ready to go, have you ever known anybody like that? My mama was just, you know, she was in there just, let's say the 23rd song. We'd sing that, and we'd sing a song called, you know, Land Where We'll Never Grow Old, and I was just ready, you know. She was probably thinking, and God says, all at once there, on that May 13th at about, 5 or 6 o'clock, and, 4:30, 5 o'clock there, and even on May 13th, 1999, the angel said, God will see you now. And she was gone. So her appointment was there. Now, some of you who think, you know, I've lost loved ones. Well, remember when your kids were born. Were you ready for that? And you said, I don't know whether I'm ready to be a daddy or not, but you became one. So consider this.
God's appointment book. Just remember. So I don't understand all the things. Then please remember this. Our thoughts are not His. Our ways are not His. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. God has a purpose in taking you home on His time. He's got a purpose for bringing people in. And you say, I just don't understand it. Then you don't have to. God understands. Just trust Him. So again, He's driving the car. He's taking us to our destination. And don't forget that you have good company. The disciples felt the same way. Disciples didn't understand. Simon Peter, when Jesus says, I got to die on the cross, Simon Peter got angry with him. No, he won't. I'll fight everybody. Remember when they come to arrest Jesus, an angry mob was there. How many's in a mob? What do you think?
Quite a few.
Yeah. How many disciples are waiting to greet them? Jesus plus the disciples equals how many? 12. Judas is already gone. So 12 people stand up to fight 200 or 300. And Simon Peter pulls out what they thought was a dagger, basically. He's going to fight all 300 people. See, the man didn't always think through that. God, I'll fight us out of here, Jesus. You cover me. And he whacks off a man's ear. And Jesus, like, here, put the knife up. My time has what? It's come. It's time for me to go. Now, let me take this man's ear, probably just looking at Peter while he's going, calm down. You okay? Blood still running down his ear, but it's on. Now, we're here to arrest you because they claim you did a miracle. The man arrests him and drags him off. This time had come. Remember when he changed the water to wine in John chapter 2? He said, Mom, talking to Mary, Mother, time has not yet come. God's appointment. But what time is it? Considering some verse. Okay. Remember last week, one of my favorite stories. What's this man's name? Zacchaeus. What's this man's name? Gabriel shows up. If you'll find Luke in your Bible, God's appointment book. They have been waiting right around how many years? Around 700. And it seems like on earth, they're probably saying, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And God says, remember in 2 Peter, He reminds us, a day is as what? 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Since it's been about 700 years, we haven't even got a day gone by in heaven, so to speak. We've got about 3/4 of the day. So if you left at 8 o'clock in the morning and worked till 8 at night, that's half. You say, what if I go ahead and work another 8 hours? Ooh, you'd be wore out. But if you worked 3/4 of the day, you'd say, wow, I'm just wore out. Other people, if you said you've got 16 hours to live, wow, that's nothing. So it's according on what you're doing. So if we're down here on earth, we're thinking, Lord, where are you? We're in this waiting room. Where's this hope of Israel, this consolation of Israel that you told us to look forward to? Where's it at? Hundreds of years have passed. Hundreds, and now finally, God is just smiling. Just picture God smiling, looks at everybody. Are you ready for this? Curtain's about to pull open. And in Luke chapter 1, he says, Gabriel. By the way, where was Gabriel? There's your other quiz question, if you're thinking, Kevin. Where does little Colton Burpo think that? He says, I pictured. Where was Gabriel?
Left hand.
The left hand of God, God says. Can you imagine this? It's like, I remember standing on the sideline. This is where I was most of the time when I played football, job. But anyway, I remember standing on the sidelines, and if a coach would come in and go, okay. That was it. This is good. Or on a kickoff, here it comes. I've been out there. This is it. You're waiting all week. And everything is finally in this culmination. This is it. So right now, God looks over and says, Gabriel, go. And Gabriel. And just at the right time of this man who, they said in some sources I've looked up, whether this is exactly right. I don't know. They said some people might not get them to go into what he did. He was doing, some people say he's doing priestly duties that occurred quite often. I looked up one source reference and it said he hadn't quite got into the Holy of Holies. Other people say he was in the Holy of Holies. But the point is, on his certain day, that doesn't happen a whole lot, he gets to walk in and an angel shows up just at that exact time. And Gabriel says, he visits and he speaks to Zechariah. That was a scary thing for him, right? Zechariah didn't believe what was going to come about. If you look in Luke, John the Baptist's, Luke chapter 1, verse 5, in the time of Herod the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron, priestly. Both of them upright in the sight of God, obeying all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. And once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot. I used to think that was gambling. Well, however it is, God controlled the purse that day. According to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple to the Lord to burn incense. So he could have very well not been the one in there. God worked it out. Verse 10, I love this. And when the what? Time for the burning of incense came. All the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him just at that right time. He was gripped with fear. A man who's blameless, upright, faithfully doing his duties for years was scared to death. He's about to be told that someone's going to be born. Let me just interject this right here. Some people thought that a Messiah, which was true, a Messiah would be born. They don't have any revelation of that. Was any prophecy about John the Baptist anywhere near Jesus? No. So this baby is basically going to come into the world in obscurity. No one's even going to know he's around. And yet he's got the great position of being what? He's called the forerunner of Jesus. If we're in a wedding, guess who the bride is? That's us. We may not feel like a bride on certain days, but we're the bride. Who's the groom? That's Jesus. Who's the best man? John the Baptist. That's the way I picture that wedding. So John the Baptist gets to tell people about Jesus. John the Baptist. This is a great birth, and yet he's going to sneak in unnoticed. Now he does. He's going to be a joy and a delight. Many will rejoice because of his birth. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. And so this angel just tells him, but I just want you to stop and think with me just a minute, that a lot of births are occurring and nobody even knows about them. Jesus is just going to come in because some people had looked for Jesus to almost like show up in the clouds of glory, come down and being a king. Everybody's going to see him and it's going to be all fanfare. Why did Jesus choose to be born in a manger? Why did he choose to be born in a stable or a hewn-out cave? Why did he choose to do that? Because that's more like us than a kingdom, isn't it? I'm not Prince Charles. I'm not royalty, although I am now because I'm a child of the king. But Jesus wants to, he's every day. He's blue-collar. He's not the tuxedo. He's the jeans and the work shirt. So Jesus comes down, and I think there for a while when Jesus was born, you know who the people were to welcome him in? The animals. Jesus is going to be just 3 months younger than this man, John the Baptist, that's going to grow up. So Zechariah, he is a priest. He is sort of like a little bit more in the limelight maybe than Joseph. But births come and go, and we don't even hardly notice it. Let me give you an indication of a few of these. This man's named Napoleon. He used to go around fighting a lot of battles. As a matter of fact, Napoleon was going across Europe and day after day when he was just wiping people out. People's like, we got to get ready for Napoleon. He's going to just destroy us. He's going to kill us. He's going to annihilate us. I think he was the one at one time said basically that I'm sad that there's no more what? Battles to win. There's no more worlds to conquer. I've done everything. But yet, lying midway between Trafalgar and Waterloo, there came into the world a host of heroes during that year of 1809. And they came in and nobody even knew they came in. Everybody's eyes were on Napoleon. It's like, we got to concern ourselves with this. Let me show you a picture of this first baby that was born. This story's found in The Cradle, the Cross, and the Crown by Billy Graham. It's a devotional book, so I borrowed this from Billy. I thought it was neat, though. He talks about a few people, and his reminder is for us to slow down and catch Christmas, or else we're going to be so concerned with the battles and the goings-on in life that we're going to miss it. Here comes a birth that Billy Graham talks about. He says, this guy looks sort of rough. I have no idea who he was. Well, to us, unless we were a Londoner, I don't know that I would know who it is, but let me at least describe him. Lasting over 60 years, he served as prime minister 4 separate times, more than any other person, served as chancellor. And if you see that, it looks like X check. That's really the United States. That'd be like treasurer. So he's the treasurer. He's in charge of the queen's, you know, purse there, so to speak, four times. Britain's oldest prime minister. He resigned for the final time when he was 84. So if you think, I just don't feel like doing something, check this man out. So he stayed busy. You say, who in the world was he? Okay. He was born in Liverpool, England, and his name was William Ewart Gladstone. He was born in 1809. Okay. So that was a great man. Well, what do you think? This man born in 1809 turned out to be one of the top aides of all time to the Queen. Or maybe I could give you this person. Some of you might recognize him. You say, nah, I still don't. Maybe if you're used to literature, he was a poet laureate of Great Britain and Ireland during much of Queen Victoria's reign. Remains one of the most popular British poets of all time. He's the ninth most frequently quoted writer in the Oxford Dictionary. Let me give you a few of his quotes. "'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Theirs is not the reason why. Theirs is but to do and die." I used to quote that to my football team at Charlotte. "My strength is as the strength of ten because my heart is pure. To strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. Knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers in you. Old order changeth, yielding place to the new." Say, who in the world was this man? Keep guessing. He's got to be from London. He's got to be from Great Britain.
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare wrote a lot of plays. This man's known for his poems. He's a poet laureate. Maybe you've heard of, matter of fact, you stick a title in the middle of his name. He was a lord. This must be, this was Alfred Lord Tennyson. Born in 1809. Snuck in about the month of February. Nobody knew him. Okay, I got to give you the next one. See, I'm missing out on this. Again, Billy Graham points out this guy. He said, I have no idea who he was. Well, his son was more famous than he was, I think. But then again, check out this guy's credentials. An American physician, poet, professor, lecturer. He went into law school, got tired of that, became a doctor. You don't know whether you become a lawyer or doctor. Just be both. He was an important medical reformer, graduated from Harvard, that unnamed school, 1829, briefly studied law before turning to the medical profession. He began writing poetry at an early age. So who in the world was this guy? Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr. His son, Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., later served as the assistant on the Supreme Court. Okay. This person looks so young. He's a musician. He's got a name that's sort of hard to pronounce. He was born in Warsaw, Poland. Anybody want to make a guess? Poetic genius was based on professional technique that was without equal. This man must have been Chopin. Frederick Francis Chopin. Okay. Got two hard ones left. I think one of them might not be too bad. This guy, okay, I had no idea who he was. A German composer, pianist, organist, conductor of the early Romantic period. Where was he born? Hamburg, Germany. And his name was this, Felix Mendelssohn. So, okay, I'm going to give you one that you know. I can't give you his picture. You're going to know him. So I'm going to say, I'm going to give you his description. Reared in a poor family in the Western frontier, self-educated lawyer in Illinois.
Lincoln.
Elected to Congress. People didn't like him in Congress, so he, after serving Congress and being so unpopular among the voters, he just quit and went back to his law practice. Decided to go back and try it one more time. Ran for president, believe it or not, won. All those guys were born in 1809. I can't even recognize half the pictures up there. All these people they became famous. But at the time, who would have said that baby's going to be, he's going to be president? He's going to be Chopin. He's going to be a great composer. Child prodigy. I can tell it right now. No, they just sneak into the world and come back out. I think John the Baptist snuck into the world. Okay. When he was out there playing, throwing rocks and stuff, who's his playmate over there throwing rocks to? He's only 3 months older than him. Who do you think he grew up with?
Jesus.
I wonder if anybody grew by and stopped the car. Forerunner? Messiah? No, they didn't. I don't even think they knew. It just sort of snuck in. So it took the faith of just two or three to say, this is it. John the Baptist's daddy, when he heard about his son, he walked out of there. Did he believe, by the way? No, he lost his voice. Because he says to the angel Gabriel, well, we'll look at it. Says to the angel Gabriel, how can it be? Let's look at three different portions of Scripture and three different people. Just as the whole world was focused on Napoleon in the early 1800s, I think, they were thinking of him coming through, I think, and in Jesus' time, people may be thinking of Caesar. And yet, this baby, Jesus, snuck right in, and nobody even knew he was there. A little town of Bethlehem. How often are we paying attention to all the things of the world? Here comes a Napoleon, so to speak. Now, your Napoleon might be your boss. Or no, your Napoleon might be schoolwork. Or your Napoleon might be your job to where, I don't know. Or shopping, or the mall. It might be, because sometimes you say, when I went to the mall today, it was like fighting a battle. And so we get involved in all the battles, then we sit down, and Christmas goes straight by, and it sneaks in on us and leaves, and we don't even know it's been there. Much the same way in Napoleon's time. All those stars, all those heroes, all those famous people now snuck in, all in the same year. Well, in order for this baby to show up, isn't God so cool? He just, let me give him a playmate to grow up with. Let me give, let's give Zachary and Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary, they're probably going to, because these guys have a miraculous birth. John the Baptist should have never been born. Two older parents. Zach, he even looks at the angel. Zachariah says, how can this be? I'm old and my wife is advanced in years. You know, that's a nice way to say my wife's not old. And she is barren. I am very old and my wife is advanced in years. And she is barren. It's too late. God says, it can't be too late. You're going to have a child. But because of your doubt, your voice is gone. He comes out and the people say, why were you in there so long? What'd you do? Did you see an angel or something? You did? What's his name? Can he talk? So he begins probably, give me a tablet, let me write something down. They asked him, what should we call the baby? And he says, John, and they were shocked. It's like, why call him John? There's no Johns in our family. It's nobody. Where'd you get that name from? Oh, God tells you to do something? Yeah, I'll be obedient. Okay, let's look at a couple different verses today. That's the one I hope we slow down for. But can I tell you these, they're all found. We're supposed to be waiting, watching, and willing. Here's what I want you to do. We should all be patiently waiting. God, if we sit down to read our Bibles in the morning, God, what do you, I'm waiting. I want you to show me something. And then I've got to do this. I've got to be watching. So, oh yeah. You know, if I say, God, I'm waiting on you to show me something. Oh yeah, that's it. I'm attentive enough to catch it. And then I've got to, okay, I've got to do it. And you notice this process falls or fails if we're not waiting on God anyway. That means I'm looking for something in my life. Some of us are, you say, I'm waiting right now, I understand. Well, make sure you're so attentive that you don't miss it. But the biggest thing, you got to do what he tells you to do. So don't be impulsive. I can't give up. We can't be impulsive. Why try? Some of us have probably done that, okay. All of us have done that at least once or twice in our life. We're getting impulsive. We can't give up. We've got to be watching. That is, we've got to be attentive to details that God uses. He uses people, circumstances. Obviously, he uses his word. And finally, I've got to be obedient. Even when it's hard to believe, we need to obey God. Again, I'll give you a promise. Lean not in your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Lean not. The next time you say, I just don't understand this. Proverbs 3:5. God says, I don't expect you to. So don't lean on your own understanding. Trust me. Well, that's hard. I know. That's why they call it faith. You got any other things you want to come to me with? No. So I'm supposed to trust you? Yeah. I'm supposed to trust you with my life because I don't know when I'm going to walk into heaven. I don't understand your appointment book. Right. And I'm in control of everything, so you just hang on. We ready? How about these guys? Let me show you some appointment books that will just startle you. Watching, waiting, and willing. Luke chapter 1, 5-25. We started reading about this man just a minute ago. His appointment book. Is he old? Is he close to death? I don't know. Did he ask himself, look in the mirror occasionally? Whatever they use back there to shave in Bible times. Did he say, I'm about to die? Did he ever say that? I don't know. Did his wife ever say, honey, we were supposed to have a child and you're old and I'm well advanced in years and I don't know if it's going to happen. And we started reading his story, 5-25. Angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, don't be afraid. Isn't that always what an angel tells you? Don't be afraid. It's like just where you hit the ground. By the way, if he's scared, where would you and I be? This is a righteous, blameless, upright, walking in there, priest doing the duties every day. This man's walking with God if there ever was. I have a feeling if that was you and I, and this is God's head angel, who would you want showing up to speak to you? I would think I'd want the assistant of one of the lower angels, because this is Gabriel, and Zachariah almost probably just about ready to keel over. So the next time some, you know, when those people in the world today say, you know, I think I saw an angel. No, you didn't. Because if you did, you'd remember it. Zachariah does see an angel, and he's an upright man. Don't be afraid, Zachariah. Your prayer has been heard. Can I just give you, if you forget everything else I'm going to tell you today, would you take, you want to mark that thing down every time you pray? Your prayer has been heard. How often does God hear your prayers? Every time you offer them. Really? How come he doesn't answer? I don't know. So every prayer offered, God hears. Okay. Your prayer has been heard. Well, how come he didn't do it? Because, remember, oh yeah, the appointment book thing, you're right. You don't do things on my ways are not yours, my thoughts are not yours. You know, I think I'm starting to get the hang of this, God. You're going to do things when you think it's best. And I'm praying. He says, I understand it. Your prayer has been heard. What has his prayer been for probably years? Let me be. I don't know. Your prayer has been heard. I'm going to let you be a dad. I was praying that when I was 30, and I'm now about 80. I don't know. You ready to be a dad? Okay, yeah, I guess so. God's not late. He's on time. You got to remember that too. To you and me, we think he's late. God says, got it. See, we're just anxious. And Paul writes in Philippians, be not anxious for anything, but in all prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. So we just think, man, come on, God. That's right on time, Edgar. What are you talking about? So we either think God's late giving us blessings, or he's early taking people home. God, you let him die too early. No, I know what I'm doing. And how come you're late with your blessings? According to us, God, if he is a conductor, he just don't run this train at all, right, does he? Why don't we instead think God knows what he's doing? At the right time, your prayer's been heard. You're going to be a daddy. Guess what? Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. Can you imagine he's been waiting for a long time? Do you think yet he knows his son's going to be the forerunner of Christ? Wait a minute, if I'm going to have a son. So Jesus is on the way. We've been waiting on this almost 1,000 years. This is it. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to give him the name John. He'll be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be a great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. Why? Because people have given up. He's going to have to bring them back because a lot of them are what I would call backslidden. A lot of them have lost their faith because, God, you've taken so long. I've give up. Where is this Messiah? Where is this? Fooey on this thing. I'm not going to church anymore. Can you imagine Zachariah seeing some of his neighbors say, y'all going to church today? Nah, we're going to stay home. How come? I just give up. God's not in this anymore. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? Doubtful. I'm an old man. My wife is, you guessed it, well along in years. And the angel said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Let me just paraphrase that. Listen, it'll happen. I just come from God Almighty, and what he says he'll do, he'll do. Sorry I asked. But just to remind you to not be doubtful, you're not going to speak after that. And now you'll be silent and not be able to speak till the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which come in truth at the proper time. Well, if this righteous, blameless, upright, strongest, and can be priest is reprimanded, gives hope for me, because I know I mess up sometimes. Meanwhile, the people are waiting for him forever. See, they don't understand God's appointment book. Meanwhile, the people are waiting for Zachariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. Where you been? We've got to hurry and get some lunch. You made us wait. When he came out, he couldn't even speak. Probably just still got that glazed over deer in the headlight look.
You okay? You're not. You saw something. Three words. One of them. It's like charade. You saw God? You saw somebody close to God? Jesus? No. Messenger angel. They finally get it out of him. He's to be a daddy, and they just... And Gable, although he came in the presence, you might as well say, I just got word from God. Things will be all right. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. And when this time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me. He said, in those days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. If this man has just been told his son will pave the way of the Lord, then the Lord's coming next. So the angel has to make an appearance to this person. Mary, would you keep looking a few verses later in Luke chapter 1, verse 26? Very next thing, he's taking care of Zechariah and John the Baptist. Now, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And verse 29 says, Mary was what?
Troubled.
Perplexed. Is she more scared like Zechariah? I don't know. She's troubled at his words. What words? The virgin's name was Mary. It says, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." How would she be troubled at that? Because if she's like me, if somebody really starts to brag on you, why does it make you feel uncomfortable? Because you think, if you only knew me. If I said, man, you are spitting image, you are just going, oh, don't do that. And it's okay. I went to a camp down in Tennessee. Well, one's in Abington, one's in Tennessee. I walked up there and I got through speaking all night. And I always talk to my friend Greg Alder. And I came over there and I was saying something. I said, thanks for, you know, we were expecting 50 kids. And Greg, in a nice sort of way on Monday night, he said, you got to be good. Wow, that's no pressure. Because if you're not good, these kids, we're going to lose the 50 we've got. And nobody else will come. If you're good, they'll tell their friends and hopefully we'll finish up on a good note. And I'll think, okay, let's do this. God, you got to do something. And I jump up around on 50 or 60 on Monday night. We finished the week with 300. And people were... And at the end of the week, I'm just like... And I come to get off that, and it's not me. I would never think that for a second. And a man come up and he says, "Now you're..." And I said, "Edgar Moser." And he said, "I've been praying for you this week." And I said, "I haven't seen you all week." He said, "No, there's a group of us upstairs in the church. While you're down here speaking every night, we're up there praying for you. So you're the one I need to thank for the decision to make. We've been praying for you every time. So if you're down here an hour, we're up there an hour." Well, thanks. And that humbled me to think, I thank you for praying. And about this time, some little boy comes up, "Hey, can I hear the autograph?" And Greg looks at some other words. That was a nod to say, "Go ahead." And I'm not nice to Gabriel. I'm not building it. And then I can hear it from heaven, too. But you're mine. And I'm used to it. So give that boy his autograph. Yes. Almost felt foolish doing it, but you go ahead. If somebody comes, "Are you?" "Yeah." Mary's just in having one of those feelings. An angel shows up. "Highly favored of God." "No, don't. You must..." "Let me look around. You must be talking to someone." "No, it's you. And you're gonna be the mother of Jesus." She's got to sit down, maybe. "We've been looking for him for almost 1,000 years, and you're gonna let me bring him into the world that..." "It's not. You got the wrong address. Check again, Mr. Angel. It's somebody else that's got more. You're the one." "I can't be." "You are." That's humbling. She was troubled with that. Wonder what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid." There's that typical angel salutation. "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child, give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." And Mary knows her Bible, and she's like, this is the Messiah. I get to bring the Messiah into the world. Some of you women, when you became pregnant, did y'all call your moms or did you call a friend because you wanted... Let me tell you what's happening. You know who married? I just wish I had somebody to talk to. Yes, I got you. Watch this. You'll be his child. You'll give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Logic kicks in a little bit, and Mary asks, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Don't let that verse sneak by. Don't let that be like all these heroes born in 1809. You're going to miss something. And this is what, I'd have to fight or I'd start crying. This is what happens when you get saved. Do you realize that? Let me read that again. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. He did. He says, he convicts me that time when I was 8-year-old little boy. The Holy Spirit comes upon me, speaks to my heart. I didn't have to respond. He doesn't force me. Jesus never brings an arm up behind you. Got another one. He doesn't capture people. He just speaks to your heart. Holy Spirit came upon me, and I said, yeah, I do. I'm convicted of my sin. Would you forgive me of my sins and save my soul? And Holy Spirit comes upon you, and I'm under the power of the Most High. He overshadows me there for a second, and guess what? When I accept Jesus, Holy Spirit goes right into my heart. How's that the parallel? Because the Holy Spirit says, Mary, we're hovered above you. You're the chosen one. We don't force things on it. What's the call? It's your answer. We're going to overshadow you. And see, just like I could have told God when I was a little boy, there's no good in me. I know that. I'm going to bring the good in you. Mary could say, how can this be? I don't know a man. I know. We're going to overshadow you and come to live in you. He came to live in my heart when I was 8 years old. He's going to come to live in Mary's womb because he's already in her heart. She's a believer. That's why she was chosen, a special person of God. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child. I bet you that was great news. She'd think, oh, I can call Elizabeth on the phone when I'm going through this pregnancy. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month, for nothing is impossible with God. So now Mary, the choice of a lifetime to bear the Son of God. What's it going to be? Now see, Jesus could be up here today, and he could be pointing at each of us, and he could say to our heart, and he'd say, okay. And you can remember back that day when Jesus spoke to your heart and said, whether it be Brian, Melanie, Lorianne, Lucas, just go around there and fill your name in. I'm speaking to your heart, and you want me as your Savior. Okay, Holy Spirit goes straight in. Mary, what's it going to be? I don't know if I can do this. I don't feel worthy. But here's her answer. I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. Jesus just went in. Now there's a little seed being born in the womb. Isn't that cool? She didn't go down to Jerusalem planning to go get a sonogram. No, there's a baby. You know, I really need to tell my future husband about this. Probably be good. Yeah, let him know. That's what I'm praying. Okay, how did that happen? Well, God, you wouldn't understand. Much the same way you do. You go into school or work or something. Guess what? You're not going to understand. It's that Jesus coming to me the other day.
You?
Yep. Believe it or not, but as Jesus grows in your heart, your life will change. And as Mary's womb enlarged, maybe you are. Can you imagine carrying around Jesus in you? If you're a believer, you do. Almost feel like Mary. He came to live in my heart. He was in Mary's heart, and may it be to me as you've said. Well, a little like salvation there. So at the same time, Mary got ready, hurried into town, full country, toward the full country, hill country of Judah, where she entered Zachariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. It's just like you. Me pick a phone call, Mom. Zach, Elizabeth, is it? Oh, and they dance around, tears flowing. Zachariah just, outside too much after being in this room. And just, I'm a baby. I must pick out clothes. Don't have to do that too much. You know what John the Baptist would wear when he grew up? Leather girdle. So like one called 8 locusts and honey, good diet. Razor never touched his hand because he's a Nazarite. That's pretty rough character. And basically John says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he would go forth telling people basically get right with God. I like how John the Baptist says, preacher. And he said, get ready because Jesus is coming. And he's down there baptizing people, remember, in the River Jordan. Next. Next.
Oh, and he just drops his hands and says, Jesus. He says, no, get up. You got to do this in order for the word to be fulfilled.
I'm not worthy of this. Much like Mary. See, it's a funny thing. When you're close to God, you feel very unworthy because you realize he's so great and you're so small.
And he said, I'm not even worthy to take your shoes off. Just let it be done.
Okay.
He baptizes Jesus. And Jesus the Son hears from God the Father, who said, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased, and the Spirit, Holy Spirit, in the form of the devil. And he said, you had the Trinity right there in the complete picture. How about this last person? You say, I had no idea who Simeon is. Well, what's that? Well, it's... I'm going to give you a couple things about these people. I'm going to save Simeon just for a second. There was a priest named Zechariah. You're going to have a quiz on this next week, by the way. They were both righteous, Elizabeth and Pia. They were walking blameless. Then Mary, of course, you know a little bit about her. Coming in, he said, her greetings, favor, one the Lord's with you. She was very perplexed at this statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation it was. And he said, don't be afraid. You're the one we picked. God makes no mistakes because it's in his appointment book. This is the day we show up. You say, well, who was Simeon? Well, Simeon was this man found in Luke chapter 2. Would you turn over Luke chapter 2, and I got to tell you a little bit about this guy. And this is, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. If you'll find Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And I just got, I just love this guy. Why? Because I want to be like him as I get older. I want to be like him now. Verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation, you can substitute a word there saying hope. He's waiting for the hope of Israel. Who's the hope of Israel?
Jesus.
He's waiting for Jesus. And he's checked God's appointment book. Nope, no Jesus today. Next day, no Jesus today. And this is the day. He flips the appointment book. And just think if we could see God's appointment book. Just pretend here. He flips it. Honey, you doing okay today? And sending you up to his wife. Jesus is showing up today. Yeah. So he goes to work. He gets to see Jesus, the one he's waited for all his life. He was righteous, devout, waiting for the hope of Israel, waiting for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Jesus, the Lord Christ. I hope that would be true of all of us. No one in this room, I pray that you'd never die without knowing Jesus. Because heaven's our home, remember that place we've been talking about, and hell's the alternative. You got to know Jesus before you die. He says, you're going to see Jesus before you die. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Reminds you a little bit like Zechariah. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon is sitting up there, and here comes Joseph and Mary. And Mary's just hugging that baby tight. You think you watch after Todd. I watch after Andy. By the way, who do you really watch after? Your firstborn? I'm just sort of joking here. Remember your firstborn? You know? When you're firstborn, it's like, oh, don't do that. Yeah, anybody like that, really? You know, your firstborn, they drop the pacifier. Hold it. You put it in boiling water for 25 minutes, okay? Second child comes along. Here, stick it back in your mouth. Third child, pick it up. It's okay. It's one of them die gangrene, you know? It's like the first one, we're so careful. And the second one, it's like, we'll quit, spit the dirt off. It's just in the litter box. Go ahead. I got all the gravel off. And the third one, don't. Get out of the litter box. Can't let you play in. Let me know when you think. We just gradually drop it back. Stephen Curtis says he had the first child. That's what they would do. And the second one come along. He said, now I'll wait until about the second hour of screaming now before I go in to check on him because he knows it must be something serious if it's lasted that long. He jokingly says, well, guess what? These parents are probably just hugging on to Jesus. And Mary says, Joseph, can I hold him up? I had him. Well, I had nothing to do with it, but can I hold him? Let me hold him. Okay. No, let me hold him. And they walk up and they look up at Simeon. You think I cross him and just got tears running down his face? That's Jesus. How'd you know? Holy Spirit told me. Can I hold him? Okay. Hold his head up. That's his mirror. Hold his head up. And he says this. Sovereign Lord. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God and said, Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. In other words, dismiss. You can now let me, what?
Die.
I've seen Jesus. My life's complete. You can dismiss me. You can let me die now. That's all I ever wanted to do, to see Jesus when I die. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You better make sure you see salvation before you die. Which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, and I'll just throw this in here, the daughter of Phethuah in the tribe of Asher. She was very old. I was wondering if she didn't say it was well advanced. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day. Never got tired of church. Fasting and praying, just looking forward to seeing Jesus and coming upon them. At this very moment, remember God's appointment book, this very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She spoke to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. All those people looking forward to Jesus being born, she now said, she just goes out and announces it. Jesus has been born. Spread the news. And when Jesus and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew, became strong, and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You know there's things that people want to do before they die. What's that called?
Bucket list.
Gotta do a bucket list. I'm gonna ride a bull named Fu Manchu, or I'm gonna go skydiving, I'm gonna hang glide, and I'm gonna do all those things. I tell you what, I'll be on that bucket list. Meet Jesus. That'll be the top. Before I die, I gotta meet Jesus. Yeah, that'd probably be a good idea. Not Louisville. Love country music. So naturally, he said, before I die, I want to go work. I feel tense. So he took it. Andy's probably about 5 or 6. I mean, I felt like I had 2 kids in the car sometimes. You know, Orville was back and back with him. He was just talking. You know, Andy's back and back with him. Right? I think they drove about 8 hours and got down to Nashville, Tennessee. And yet, part of you almost like, not that Uncle Orville was aggravating. I'm aggravating the people, so I can't do it. But I was like, I would probably say, Orville, you better drive me crazy. Andy, it's going to be a short drive because I'm almost there. It's like, can I make it 9 hours in the car? But we finally pulled in. And the look on his face, maybe 9 hours, not so bad. You okay? Awkwardly. You'd have thought this was what to him?
Paradise.
He's just in your paradise. We got to go on the Ralph Emery show, sit in the audience, see Eddie Rabbit, meet him afterwards. His dad Jack was there. Jack Rabbit. Mm-hmm. Had to do something to keep him crying. Eddie Rabbit come over and spoke. I said, well, this is just a Ralph Emery show. Guess what we get to see tomorrow? Grand Ole Opry. Walk into Grand Ole Opry. We sit down and such classic says, Boxcar Willie. What's for supper? Who would always answer on hee haw as he watched him? Grandpa Jones comes out. And the king of country music, Roy Acuff. I just never understood. Porter Wagoner singing, and Roy Acuff just walking behind on the stage.
I even asked my sister, and I said, does he always do? They said, they just let him be. I don't think he's mine for what he used to be, but they just don't mind. I mean, this is his home. He had a home at Opry Lane. But when people would come out and sing, I would look over and I'm thinking, Oral's in another world. He's heaven. This is what I want to do for another. I have reached the epitome of conviction. And suddenly it was worth the effort. Going back wasn't so bad. It's almost like we have seen. See, Jesus was just in a piece of heaven. We've seen heaven. That's all I need to do. Send me. I'm ready to go. You can hold him back, Mary. I'm just going to go home and my life is going to be. Orville came back and just loved us, thanked me for a long time. Remember that time when we, oh yeah, it is now, that was sort of like where you started keeping time from the rest of your life. Remember that time we went to Opry? Oh yeah, Opryland, you know, and that's where you started beating everything. I'm glad I took you. Was it trouble? Might be. Was it worth it? Absolutely. I just want you to catch these three guys. Righteous and blameless, favored. These guys had it going, and yet they were very humble. This guy was afraid. You might be afraid today. I don't know if I can do what God's calling me to do. You never can tell. Remember those 6 heroes I showed you earlier? Chopin, Mendelssohn, President Lincoln, John the Baptist, Mother of Jesus. You said, I don't know if I'm going to be quite these guys. It all began with God speaking to you. Check out Premier's description. She was afraid, confused, perplexed, probably a teenager. But finally was obedient to God's will. Could have very well been 15 or 16. Simeon's just hanging on. Hopeful, faithful, and joyful when he finally held Jesus, the Son of God. My life. Check these guys. God used them all. He seems like he's just faithful. The older he gets, he's okay. But young and old, blameless, upright, devout, and God says, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to use you. And he might be looking from heaven right now saying, I'm going to use you. He points at you. Close with this one. Consider this right here. I'm the Lord's servant. Today God's asking you to do, would you do this? And your proper response would be, whatever you say. That's paraphrasing. I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. God's word for you, 2 Peter 3:9 says, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, so that'll be fulfilled. I give my heart and life to you. Angel left her. In Luke chapter 1, she's obedient to God's calling. God might be calling you today. And here's the other person. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God and said, Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant. I'm good. Just like Orville, I've been to Opry Lane. I've seen Jesus. My eyes have seen your salvation. I got peace. My life's complete. I'm ready to go. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, today we might be more like these guys than we know. We might be scared. We might be a little perplexed. We might not understand everything, but we know enough to come to you. Jesus, you might be asking us today, can I come into your heart? Just like you asked Mary, you're favored. Can I come in, change your life? That's what you still ask us to do today. Can I come in and change your life? And that's a big change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, for man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things become new, old things are passed away. So Jesus, you're asking to come in. May we be like Mary and say, I'm your servant. And Jesus, we've got to do that because we've got to be like Simeon. We've got to say on the moment that in your appointment book, when you call us home, it's time to die, it's time to be dismissed. And we say, it's okay, I'm all right because I've seen your salvation. I'm good with that. My life's complete. And Jesus, much like me, take him off oil down to Opry Lane. It was worth it. This life seems like it's filled with trouble sometimes, aggravations, fretfulness. We just trials, and yet Jesus, when we walk into heaven, it'll be like that old song. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus.
forth that often we see Christ.
One glimpse of his dear face, our sorrow will erase. Let us run the race till we see Christ. Jesus, call us today. Help us to be obedient to your call. In Jesus' name. Amen. So how about you? I'm sure that on the night Jesus was born, it was probably scary to shepherds. It was scary to Mary. She's given birth and yet never known a man. Joseph, he's probably, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm just hanging on animals. I'd probably, if I was in that nativity scene, I'd probably be that calf or a donkey. I'm not sure. But anyway, I would probably just be, Lord, I'm in there. He says, you're being a part of my plan. So today he's called you to be part of his plan. I don't know. Andy, you got a song? Let's see. I'll give you a minute to meditate on God's goodness, and I'll close this in prayer. Jesus, in those few moments we just sit and get to talk with you, I pray that people have prayed, and Lord, I would even stay here if we pray again. That, it's just time to get things settled. What better time, though, than it's your birthday? I can imagine Mary years ago being laden and riding on a donkey and Joseph leading them, and there within a few days of you coming to earth. I wonder if the angels in heaven were a little bit frightened to know that you'll leave them and come to a sin-cursed earth. But Jesus, I thank you that was the night that love was born. And it gets born in us every time somebody accepts you as Savior. Love's born again, fresh in you. Thanks for the reminder today of Simeon and Mary. And again, a man who is well advanced in years and in his life, a miracle birth came his way. So Lord, help us to pick one of those people, an old person, a young person, or a person that's just finally able to say, I've seen salvation. But Jesus, help us to walk close to you this week. Bless us, I pray. Continue to speak to our hearts. What a good place to be in church as we honor you. Lord, bless us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.